Reading is Philippians 1, 3 through 7, Thanksgiving and Prayer. It was written by Paul while he was in prison. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Today we have the special gift of Sheila Pippin with us. Sheila is the pastor of congregational care at the Schweitzer Church in Springfield. But her passions are, with music and ministry. She spent the last 45 years, and she's only 47, as the choral director in the public schools and in churches around the Springfield area. And she actually received her graduate and undergraduate degrees in music education from the Missouri State University. She also attained a diploma in vocal performance while she was there. She is the founder of the Boys Choir of Springfield, which is a community choir for young men. And she's also served in the community in many volunteer positions, including that in Crosslines, Salvation Army, Harmony House, which we're going to be honoring on Saturday of this at our Southwest meeting. Also, the Breast Cancer Foundation of the Ozarks, and of course, volunteering in the Springfield Public Schools. She's married to Sam, and they have five amazing children, she tells us. She also has nine exceptional grandchildren, and then a quirky German shepherd whose name is Gracie. Sheila also enjoys the blessing of her 92-and-a-half-year-old mother, who she is able to be with each day. And so I ask you to make a big First United Methodist welcome for Sheila Pippin. Sheila? And we never honor a person coming to us without giving them a special ribbon. And so I'm now going to pin a ribbon on Sheila, which this one says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently on him."
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know you feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. days. Without a doubt we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Good morning. What a joy it is to be in fellowship with you today. I appreciate the lovely introduction. Thank you so much. And yes, I do have a quirky German Shepherd, and she is very quirky. But I've got the 92-year-and-a-half-year-old mom. She's awesome. She's delightful. The grandkids, the kids, my sweet husband. Life is a blessing. And I have people around me in a village that support me and care for me and love me and walk with me through the good times and through the bad times. And really, that's what we're going to talk about today, the faith and the fellowship that holds us all up. As we celebrate this today, I want to begin with that Paul's letter to the Philippians that we already heard. The primary purpose for him writing this was to provide encouragement to this church to live out their lives in service to God and to one another. Paul is writing this letter, as she said, from prison, and he wanted to assure the church not to give up hope because he, in spite of being in prison, was still in good spirits. He wanted to thank them for their continued support. He didn't want them to lose hope. The church in Philippi was the very first church that Paul planted in Europe, and interestingly, on Women of Faith Sunday, the first convert was Lydia, the seller of purple goods. Women continued to have a prominent role in the Philippian church, and aren't we glad? So I thank my God every time I remember you. Paul used that phrase many times as he wrote letters to his loved ones. What a beautiful statement. I'm so touched by Paul's appreciation of these people, but I'm even more touched by the fact that he remembered to thank God for his blessings, even in difficult times. How many times do we endure hardship without remembering that God never leaves us alone? How many times do we enjoy the gifts of God without remembering to thank him for his faithfulness? You'll know this song.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be.
Will you sing this part with me?
Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
You know, the Bible emphasizes the significance of fellowship through its teachings, promoting a sense of community, mutual support, and shared spiritual growth among believers. In passages like Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, believers are encouraged to continue assembling together, emphasizing the importance of meeting regularly to encourage and to uplift one another. Those scriptures say, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Fellowship together extends beyond just a physical presence. It involves a deep spiritual connection. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it emphasizes that walking in the light results in fellowship among believers as they share in the transformative power of the blood of Jesus Christ. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. What a joy that is to know that we are forgiven. John 15:13 reminds us of the sacrificial love for friends. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus absolutely set the ultimate example of love and friendship by laying down his life for us, his friends.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
While we may not be called to literally die for our friends, we can show sacrificial love by being willing to selflessly serve them, even when it's inconvenient. Godly friendship says, I'm here for you, no matter what. While we fellowship together and nurture friendships, we hear these words from Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. There is something uniquely special and powerful about believers joining together in unity. Whether in corporate worship, prayer, or simply doing life together, the fellowship of the saints brings joy to God's heart. He blesses the unified, loving community of his children. Friendships flourish when we are united in Christ. There is strength and support in godly friendships. When we have a Christ-centered friend by our side, they can help us when we stumble or feel weak in our faith. We can stand strong together, accomplish for God's kingdom, and pick each other up when one of us falls. That's the power of biblical fellowship. Fellowship is essential to the Christian life. When we gather together regularly with other believers, we have the opportunity to motivate each other to live out our faith in love and in service. We need the encouragement of Christian community. Amen? Amen. Godly friends inspire us to keep pursuing Jesus. Part of our calling as believers is to be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Godly friends look for ways to build each other up, not tear each other down. So much of the world now, right? Tearing one another down. That's not the way of a Christian. They offer words of affirmation, prayers of support, and acts of love. We all need friends who will be there cheering us on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. I don't know about you, but right now I find it very difficult to watch TV. I frequently mute the sound, change the channel. I'd rather watch cartoons. It's easier. Or the Andy Griffith Show. I could tell you every line. I need something better than this. The tearing down of others in order to support self is not a Christian trait. The tearing down of others to make a point is not a Christian trait. So as believers, we have to set an example that is not of this world. Seems they're more determined to tear one another down instead of offering kind words and encouraging words and just give me information about you. You don't have to tear that person down to give me information about you. I appreciate that so much. Biblical friendship is marked by unconditional love and loyalty. Godly friends stick by us through thick and thin, in moments of celebration and in times of trouble. They don't abandon us when things get tough, but are there to support us through life's trials. That's the kind of friend we should strive to be. That's the kind of friend Jesus is for each one of us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." Love is such a godly trait, and we need to be sharing that with others no matter what we find. When we have experienced the incredible love of God, we can't help but let that love overflow to others. A hallmark of an authentic Christian friendship is sincere love and affection for one another. It's a love that comes from the heart of God and demonstrates to the world that we belong to Him. Loving well is a natural fruit of fellowship with Jesus. We aspire to be a faithful friend as we have enjoyed that constant love and friendship of God.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Yes, you have. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Proverbs 18:24 says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Trustworthy, loyal friends are hard to come by, but we are more valuable than gold when we treat one another with the love of Jesus Christ. They are the ones who remain by your side no matter what. True Christian friends are a priceless treasure from the Lord. Romans 12, verse 10 says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Put others first." That's how Jesus did it. That's how Jesus still does it today. Authentic friendship is marked by genuine, unhypocritical love and affection for one another. It's not based on selfish gain, but on sincerely seeking the best for the other person, not for ourselves. We can demonstrate this kind of earnest love by honoring our friends and putting their needs before our own, the same way that Jesus loves us. The early church modeled for us what vibrant Christian fellowship looks like. They prioritized learning God's word together, sharing life together, eating together, and praying for one another through faith and fellowship. When we devote ourselves to these practices with other believers, we experience the depths of life-giving community. Biblical fellowship draws us closer to Christ and to one another. This fellowship, in turn, gives us the strength and confidence to reach out to the unchurched and to share God's love by our actions and sometimes with our words, more likely our actions. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, "If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices." Just as the parts of the body are interconnected, the body of Christ shares deeply in each other's joys and pains. True friends rejoice wholeheartedly when the other experiences blessing and success. But they also enter into each other's grief and difficulties, providing comfort and support. Friendship means doing life together through the good and the bad. One of the most powerful ways we can love our friends like Jesus is by helping them carry the weight of their burdens. We fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love, when we come alongside each other and say, "You are not in this alone. I'm here to walk with you and help shoulder this time of hardship." This is the essence of Christian fellowship, reflecting the very heart of our Savior. My personal experience would be that my Christian friends who walked along with me during difficult hardship have been the biggest blessings in my life. They never let me ford that stream alone, and I know you've all felt that in many ways. You know, I've heard it said, and you know it's true, that maybe you haven't gone through something really difficult in your life yet, but you will. Most of you probably already have, whether it's the death of a loved one, a serious illness, a deteriorating relationship, a broken family. We all have times when we need the love and the support and the fellowship of a Christian friend. What a beautiful thing that is, that through our faith in Jesus Christ, He's provided this. You are all here because Jesus chose you to be here. You are here because you are here to gain support through your village, and you are here to support one another in times of need. Our Christian fellowship is meant to draw us closer to Jesus and help us become more like Him. We're designed to do life together, not in isolation. As we encourage one another in our faith, in good times and bad, in the joy of fellowship and in worship, let's remember that this is where we receive our power for the journey. That is the feeding of our souls. Our mission field is not in these walls. Relationships are necessary. Relationships need support of one another. That's how we feed the family of Christ. But our mission field is outside of these walls. Our job is to spread the love with those who haven't heard or seen the truth about what Jesus offers: forgiveness, community, unconditional love, and eternal life. If we're sharing God's gifts with the unchurched, people will want to know more about these characteristics that are not of this world. They will want to know about this wonderful love, these gestures of unconditional caring and forgiveness. May we seek out and cultivate authentic, Christ-centered friendships. Let's be the kind of devoted friends who love at all times, speak gracious words, forgive quickly, and lay down our lives for each other. As we commit to biblical fellowship, we will experience the life-giving joy of community as God intended. We will be equipped to carry out the mission of Jesus Christ on this earth. Let's pray together.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Would you sing that with me?
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Holy God, we are here to praise you. We are here to worship you. We are here to glorify your holy name. And God, we ask your forgiveness for the times we have failed to do just that, because we know that doesn't happen just inside these walls. It happens every minute of every day of our lives. We know that you offer something so amazingly wonderful that is so unusual in this world that we live in. You offer love and care and grace and kindness and forgiveness. That's just not what we see on a daily basis anymore. So God, we ask you to take us and use us and inspire us to be your beacons of light in this community, in this world, and to each individual that we come into contact with every day. You have blessed us to be a blessing to others, God. So we're asking you to take us, to plant us where you would have us, to give us the right deeds and words to be used on your behalf. Holy God, we pray for those who are hurting right now. Some of them are sitting right in this room. We pray for those who are dealing with difficult illness and financial hardships and relationship difficulties. There are so many other things that we haven't even mentioned, God. But when we get outside these walls, God, take us and use us. We know that to do something for someone else really does more for us than it even does for them. It gives us that joy and that power and that drive to do even more. God, I thank you for this church, for the women in faith. I thank you for this congregation that obviously cares for others through their actions and words. I pray that you will continue to bless them in the faith, to set them on fire, to bring others nearer to you by their actions, and if necessary, their words. God, we thank you for the joy of Christian fellowship. We praise you for allowing us this opportunity just to worship together. The freedom of that is such a blessing. God, we look forward to the ways that you will be using us in the future. Help us not to always just be surprised by the miracles that you wrought. It's amazing what you do. Help us to just laugh about the joy that it brings and allow us to share that joy with others that we meet every day. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.